Here's a question for you. Are we to be remodeled or torn down and totally rebuilt in God's image? We think that God has called us to be remodeled. It's not true. You and I have been called to be totally torn down to the foundation and rebuilt from the foundation up. God wants to bring in the wrecking ball, tear the whole thing down, and rebuild us into what we're supposed to be. And it all starts in our mind. To truly live 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, we don't need a spiritual remodeling job. We need to be torn down and totally rebuilt. At our baptism and the laying on of hands, when many of us received the Holy Spirit, we became new believers. And we as new believers think that all we need is a remodeling job. As young believers, God starts us out by teaching us about the actions of obedience. We do that with little children. Most of the Ten Commandments given to the children of Israel are action-based commandments. Jesus Christ in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, brought those same Ten Commandments to the thought level. That is, Jesus in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount, brought those same Ten Commandments to the thought level of obedience. Initially, we learned to put out idols, the physical observance of the Sabbath, not working on Saturday for 24 hours, going to services on that day. We're changing our actions. We're learning to carry out the actions of obedience to the law of God. Then we go on to the thought level of obedience, as seen in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 48. On to perfection, as verse 48 says. We don't need a patched-up heart and mind. God says in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 33, he basically says, I will give you a new heart and new mind. This is essentially thought level and involves being given a new heart and mind. When we first came into the knowledge of the truth of God, we were just like little children. You train little children through behavior, action-based. As they get older, you begin to teach them how to think. God, the master jeweler. God is trying to make us into jewels, gems like diamonds. You have to cut a diamond out of ugly coal, which it is embedded in. What we as humans want to do is hang on to that lump of coal instead of having God cut it off and extract it from us, or extract us from it. Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 17 says God will make us into his jewels. So this is scriptural. But we tend to say, I like this diamond coal combination just fine. Leave me alone. Be careful. God will only do what we submit to in this process. We are equal participants in the process. Most don't understand why they aren't growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. It is because they have failed to realize that they essentially told God to stop meddling, just because it hurts. God, being the gentleman he is, respects our wishes. So be careful what you ask for in regard to this. Genesis 6, verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was only evil continually. The whole imaginations of mankind are evil when society reaches a level of universal evil like this. Jesus told us at the end times, society would reach this level of universal evil as it had been in the days of Noah. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't realize what a massive reconstruction job this is, and we get used to the idea of a partly rebuilt house instead of the mansion God is constructing us into. We don't realize the enormity of it. Paul said he was striving to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Agape is the ability to bring every thought into what God wants us to think. Cleanse me of secret and presumptuous sins. Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. David is saying, cleanse me from secret faults. All our secret faults have to do with the mind. Keep your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. The thing about presumptuous sin is, you believe you're right about something that really is sin. That's the whole idea about being presumptuous. I believe I'm right, so I can do what I'm doing. Presumptuous sin oftentimes are not obvious to us. That is, presumptuous sins oftentimes are not obvious to us because we believe we're right. Verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. David is basically saying, I want you to know what my thoughts are. Do you ever wish that God didn't know what your thoughts were sometimes? David says, I want to get to the place where every thought I have, you say, now that's a good thought. Thinking no evil doesn't necessarily mean we ignore evil. But if I choose to think about evil, all the evil in the world, and just meditate on it all the time, I'm probably becoming either very angry or very distraught, or I'll just give up and go and become the evil in the world. This is what agape is all about. It's knowing when to give up what is going on in the world or in your life, the evil you see at work. Let it go and think about something else. The evil in the world isn't going to go away until Christ comes back. The importance of meditation. Tools for combating evil thinking. That is the importance of meditation. Tools for combating evil thinking. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. What is it that we must choose to think about? Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, gives us the answer. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. So the context here is being happy. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the peace of God can guard our hearts and minds. But so many times we're maintaining a thought process that produces anxiety within our minds. Paul says, be anxious for nothing. Verse 8, finally, brethren, and this is the key verse here, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Take these things and think about these things. Let the evil go. There are times to think about evil, but it shouldn't be the main course of our mind all the time. These things have to become like the main course of our mind. These things that Paul just talked about. The key operative words here are of good report. How do we do this? How do we do this? In the private moments of your mind, try to fill, Paul says, your mind with these things. When it is your time to peaceably think, instead of taking all the evil and bad, instead of letting your mind be drawn towards sin, instead of thinking about what others have done to you, stop and think on these things. Remember, it has to be of good report. Think about it. If your thoughts were suddenly to be broadcast out loud, reported to everybody, would I want everybody to know what I'm thinking? God wants us to hate evil, but the daily thoughts have to be something else. Psalm 77 shows our greatest trials are internal, what we wrestle with in our minds. This is a psalm of Asaph, and he's seeing a lot of evil in his life and all around him. He shows this in verses 1 through 10 of Psalm 77. And he was getting really depressed over these things. Psalm 77, verses 1 through 10. I cried to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God, and he was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed evermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Asaph is pretty upset by all that he sees going on around him. He's seeing all the negative, and it's really getting him down. But in verses 11 through 20, it almost looks as if Asaph had been able to read the Apostle Paul's advice to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, doesn't it? He focuses on the good, those things of good report, whatsoever is good. Asaph said he was able to move forward because he went back to God, focused on God's things. When we get down like this, how long does it take to recover? As long as it takes. Our problem is we want to keep thinking the wrong way, and yet we desire godly outcome within our minds, and that won't happen. In verses 11 through 20, we see a change in Asaph's attitude. Verses 11 through 20. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your word and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great as God, as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have, with your arm, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows flashed about. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Wow, what a change in Asaph's perspective on life. When Asaph meditated on all these things of God, his attitude changed radically. Let these things of Philippians 4, verses 4 through 8, come into your mind so it is what you become, so that you become agape. Christ isn't coming back tomorrow, so the evil is going to keep going. Don't be overwhelmed with the evil you see around you. How do we not become overwhelmed with the evil? Philippians 4, 4 through 8, and Psalm 77, verses 11 through 20, gave us some clues. How do we not be overwhelmed with the evil around us? Here are three things that you need to think about. Center your thoughts on. And this gets us into the art of godly meditation. The art of godly meditation. Point number one. You can do this in your prayer time. Psalm 119 was one of David's meditative prayers. Meditate on God and his love, his plan of salvation for mankind, his truth, and what it has meant in your life. This is what Asaph did in Psalm 77, verses 11 through 20. And if you think your schedule is so busy that you don't have time for prayer, Bible study, and meditation, then chuck something out of your schedule. Because if you have no time for Bible study, God talking to you, and prayer, you talking to God, and meditation, thinking about all of those things, then find something in your schedule to get rid of. If we don't have those things, everything else we do have becomes worthless. Point number two. meditate on God's creation. Asaph did that as seen in verses 16 through 19 of Psalm 77. He meditated on the oceans, the weather patterns in the sky, rain, thunderstorms, tornadoes, lightning, and thunder. David meditated on the heavens and God's host of stars in the universe. We can do far more with a small telescope than David ever dreamt of, and see far more on our computers looking at Hubble photographs of the heavens. We can see out to the edge of the universe. Why not take up amateur astronomy? Asaph was looking at basic earth science, one of my favorite courses in high school. Point number three, find time to think. Have meditative Bible studies, and not just Bible studies to learn facts. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge about the Bible, but have no more agape than a pagan. Psalm 63, verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadows of your wings, I will rejoice. David had a habit of godly meditation. The Psalms are full of them. He meditated about when God was in his life, helping him. Here's another point about thinking no evil. Jumping to conclusions about others being evil. That is, jumping to conclusions about others being evil. Another aspect about thinking no evil is that we tend to jump to conclusions about others being evil, imputing evil motives to others. We shouldn't automatically jump to certain conclusions about other people. Agape looks and says, is this really evilly motivated? What's happening here? We have to find out, and we have to wait until we are sure in order to avoid jumping to conclusions. You may be judging another's works as having evil or wrong intent, when in fact they're of good and holy intent, righteous before God. Have you ever been on the receiving end of having your works misjudged and spoken evil of? It's not enjoyable, let me tell you.